You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of July 29th, 2020, and it's time to slice our way back into Japan.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alborg.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. Sharpen up those blades.
Get that whetstone out, baby.
Get those kunai and start to just fling them at people left and right.
Or all the thousands of other mechanics this game has available to you.
We're going to talk about Ghosts of Tsushima today. We haven't finished it, unsurprisingly, after playing it, but we decided we'll do kind of an early check-in on it and figure out maybe the long-term plan from there. Yes. Emphasis on long. I feel like this game is going to be very long. So actually, I should say, not really any spoilers. I mean, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the early game setup or whatever, but nothing that isn't within the first hour or so of the game.
Yeah, and I should say, I think pretty quickly the game opens up, and you kind of see what this game is, right? It is a open world game, and there's a slew of different mechanics and different systems that you can sort of play around and customize while you're experiencing the game. That's open and available to you. So unless I get very, very surprised and suddenly we're in the 20th century with guns or something, I don't think I think for the most part we have a good, clear understanding about what Ghosts of Tsushima actually is.
I mean, to me, that's actually the most, as a starting point, that's the most surprising thing about this whole game, which is it is such a traditional open world game.
Yes.
I did not know pretty much anything about this game other than the setting and the theme going in. Like, I just hadn't followed any of the preview cycle.
Yes.
So I didn't know what the structure of the game was. And I mean, this game is like right out of like GTA 3. You know?
Yeah, 100%. And very Assassin's Creed inspired as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm honestly somewhat surprised there's never a leap of faith into a basket of hay at some point, you
right.
know?
Right.
I even got to a point where I found a tower and I climbed up into the tower and like set something on fire to sort of reclaim it, you know? Yeah, it definitely has a lot of classic open world game mechanics. And like you, once I had seen the setting back at E3, what, 2 years ago? Three years ago, maybe at this point? I was sold, right? I've been a fan of Sucker Punch. They made the Infamous series, Infamous Second Son and First Light in particular, I was really a big fan of. That was, what, 2014, I want to say?
So, yeah, it was like one of those was like a launch PS4 game.
Right. It's been a very long time since we had a game from this studio. And so I was very hyped and excited and went in pretty much completely blind.
Yeah.
And I was very quickly surprised by how wide open it became almost instantly, you know, because there's a very brief moment where there's a couple of flashbacks. There's setting the stage where, oh, the Mongols have invaded and all of the territory is theirs now and you have to reclaim it, right? A very simple premise, but it really opens up quite quickly, I think, when you've gotten a horse, now you're free to go attack the Mongols in whatever order you want. Here are three or four major storylines that will move you along the axis, but at that point, you're functionally just free to go.
Yeah, yeah. So when you got into that, they open up the world pretty quickly. What was your impulse? Did you go with some of the storylines? Did you just wander? Did you do... Because the weird thing is, this game is very much a, like, I would say this game is very much a traditional open world game, but there's a fair amount of modern quality of life things where they make it super easy to find out which quest lines are open and what they do and even what you'll get out of them.
Yeah.
And so it's a weird combination of there's this huge laundry list of things to do, but it's all pretty transparent as to what you'll get out of it or where it is. So it's just this weird combo.
I mean, there are even like rare things or rare items or moves that you can find in the game. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell you, oh, this is available to you. They'll tell you what quest you need to go on to get the availability of that thing. And they'll show you an animation of what it actually does, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not like you stumble upon, oh, here's this ancient technique that I finally learned that feels really special. It really does feel a little bit like, here's just a grab bag. What do you want to, do you want to eat this chocolate bar? Do you want to eat this gummy worm? Like, how do you want to approach this kind of thing?
Right.
For me, I was just immediately distracted because there was a cute fox leading me somewhere. I have spent an inordinate amount of time finding those little side things.
Yeah.
This game allows you to write haikus. I don't know how many haiku spots you found.
I found like maybe 3 or 4 so far.
I love writing the haikus. I think it's such a clever idea. So I've wandered around the island looking for haikus, which is very satisfying. Of course, the hot springs, which also triggers the sort of sentimental reflection for Jin, the main character. So there's some,
and,
like,
you know, some tasty butt shots there too.
Some A+ booty. And I've also unlocked a couple of those special arts or weapons that you can find in the game that are themselves discovered through their own sort of mini storylines. Like, you'll encounter multiple steps to get to a location. It might be hunting down someone who's been killing villagers, or it might be discovering like the whereabouts of an island, and you get it from these stories which deliver these sort of beautifully rendered ink.
This is like
paintings.
The ink painting.
So I've spent a lot of time on the side quests, to be honest. I've invested a little bit of time in the thief storyline and maybe 4 or 5 quests deep into the archer at this point. Mm-hmm. So still quite early on. But yeah, I mean, I think that the open world itself has a lot to explore, and it's very pretty. It's gorgeous looking. And I think most importantly of all, even something as simple as, say, following a fox to a shrine that lets you pray to get like a charm or upgrade your charms, that creates a fast travel point.
Yes.
And so in a weird way, you're incentivized to do a lot of these just world explorations, because then it just frees you to quickly travel around the map however you choose.
Yeah. And they're pretty liberal with it, where once you get to a town or get to a, you know, a point of interest or whatever, it basically immediately becomes fast travelable. There's not like a huge ordeal you have to go through to, like, I don't know, activate it or whatever. It's pretty straightforward. Are you wearing the armor that lets you sense the collectibles?
Yes, the traveler's cloak.
Yes,
it's it's the only armor I have.
Oh, wait. Well, you have the other one, right? The
main, is it the one that you start the game with?
Oh no, because you get another set of armor from, so the there is the like the matriarch of that, of the one of the quest givers is like the matriarch of a family that had been turned upon, and, you know, they murdered most of her family. She was like the grandmother of the family or whatever. That quest line gets you a much better set of armor that is way better defensive capabilities.
Well, damn. I guess I have to do that quest line. No, I've just been wearing the traveler armor,
Okay, yeah. That means you're pretty brittle then. I mean, there's very little defense in that.
Well, so that was going to be another thing I was going to comment on, actually. There is maybe, I would say, 3 hours or so in the beginning where I thought the game was just punishingly difficult, actually. They really kind of dump you into the deep end. There's a lot of different mechanics, and most of the way that you experience it, outside of a couple of flashbacks, is just in the menu. And then you're sort of poking around and figuring out how to do it, right? Yeah. I didn't realize that there were different stances until pretty late in the game, where I realized, oh, okay, I can actually sort of shift how I approach combat with those guys, right? Even something as simple as, you know, square does a light attack, triangle does a heavy attack, but if you hold triangle, you can have like a charge thing.
You do like the jab.
I don't know if I'm old or what, but I'm constantly forgetting that I have those tools in my repertoire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's there's a density to the mechanics where it kind of reminded me of what was it called? Neo. Remember Neo had all of the stances, and each one had different kind of sub moves inside the stances. It's not as complicated as that, but it's definitely closer in that direction than it is a traditional, you know, just strong and light, you know, heavy and light attack, you know.
Right. Which I quite appreciate. I actually think at this point, combat is becoming very fluid, which I like. But I think if you're one of those people that suffers from analysis paralysis, when you're deciding where to invest your first technique points, good fucking luck. Because the amount of options you have is flabbergasting, right? You have an
entire... They don't hide anything. They just kind of give it to you all and are like, here's 7 or 10 different tech trees. Go nuts.
Honestly, the closest thing it reminded me of were those bizarre Final Fantasy evolution rings, you know, where you'd have to like zoom out, and it looks like an atlas of the stars, right? Like there's that much content. You can invest points in parrying. You can invest points in dodging. You can invest points in stealth. You can invest points in each of your individual stances. You can invest point in archery. You can invest point in exploration. You can even spend your technique points on making it easier to find foxholes, right?
Yep.
And they don't tell you these are the ones that will be most useful for you in the coming hours. Like there's no real guidance there. Which I don't know. I think for a lot of people, they might appreciate that. I thought it was a little sloppy. It feels like they really just kind of toss you in. I would have liked a little bit more guidance, maybe slowly unlocking some of that stuff as you progress through the game.
Well, but, it's just a weird mixture of like you don't know. Those first few hours, honestly, for me, were pretty rough. Like I wasn't really liking the game that much.
Yeah.
But then once I progressed a little bit further and I kind of grasped all those mechanics, it's like okay, I can kind of understand how I should be specking based off of how I like playing, and then I kind of know okay, well, I should do a few more of these quests because that'll give me some more points, and then I can finally parry this. I put a lot of stuff into the parrying. Like I can now kind of parry the unblockable moves instead of just dodging, so like it's because I was getting messed up. And I also put maybe this is just, I remember doing the same thing in Last of Us that we just played, where I put points into the health regen. So like if you get one shotted and you have enough health, you can like get a second chance basically.
Oh yeah. I haven't earned that yet, but I see that on my experience tracker.
Cause I just was sick of having to restart things. I was like, man, this sucks. So like, I want to be as survivable as possible. So I just like dumped a bunch of stuff into parrying and health techs. And now I'm able to like branch out a little bit.
I've invested a lot of points in stealth, which is a little weird, to be honest.
Because you dishonorable snake.
Yeah, so much of the story. Like, I've been progressing the archery track. Look, if you ask me, archery is a dishonorable form of combat. You know, like, you're not face-to-face. You're killing from a mile away. And this archery guy is always lecturing me on how the samurai does not actually, like, slink through the shadows like a rat. I'm like, well, look, dude, like these Mongols are fucking tough. They're coming at you like 12 deep. You know, they don't care. So I've invested a lot of points into stealth. And then I tend to do a lot of like early clearing. And then there are times where I just bolt. I'll just run away from the Mongols. And if, for better or worse, their attack range is limited. Like they will reset if you get a certain distance away.
What sort of stealth techniques did you unlock? Because I was thinking about doing that as some of my next stuff.
So slower detection speed, there's a charm that you can... The other thing, too, is the charms, right? Another customization thing. So there's a charm that increases the time it takes for them to detect you. Oh. I've increased how quickly I can kill people with your secondary weapon itself. Oh, that's another upgrade thing, right? You're upgrading just that weapon. And then I've also put in points to move faster when detecting my enemies as well. So
sensing mode or whatever,
right? When you're in the sort of sensing mode, you can move faster. So those are the elements that I've sort of that I recall putting points into most recently, and it has definitely helped. I mean, looking at how much there is to invest in, just right off the bat, I'm not going to bother investing in archery almost at all. Like I just don't see any reason to do that yet. And there are certain abilities as well that I think that they don't really do a good job of telling you how it will impact your experience. So two examples in particular. One is an early upgrade that allows you to double tap the dodge button to roll away, right?
Yeah, I haven't unlocked that yet. That's like one of the first dodging unlocks, I think.
Very cool ability. However, if you're like me and lack a certain finesse in combat, the result will be there are times when an enemy will attack you with an unparryable ability, right? Uh-huh. It's like Sekiro or something.
Yeah.
You'll see that little glint of red and you know, okay, I have to dodge. And you'll ideally tap the dodge button and sidestep the attack so you're still within range, right? Yeah. But if you're like me, the moment there's any input lag, I think it didn't register my input and I'll just slam circle again. And as a result, I will dodge roll way far back and no longer be in range to attack. There's also no lock on button in this game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which makes sort of, when you move that distance and then have to recover, it makes it a challenge. And that yes. that ability will take some getting used to. And the other one I would say is I also invested points in getting the bell that will draw people's attention, which is great for stealth kills.
Know about that.
Yeah, so there's a bell that you can throw and a Mongol.
Oh, it's one of the throwing
weapons. It's a throwable weapon.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
So if you throw it, one individual will appear and sort of come chase it. If you upgrade it, multiple enemies will come to that location.
Okay.
Which could be bad if what you wanted to do was stealth kill only one of them.
Right.
So it's good if what you're trying to do is lure them to, say, a bonfire and then, you know, Far Cry 2 style, light them all on fire or something.
Right.
But that takes some getting used to again, and once again it changes how you play, and it's not entirely clear that that's going to be the effect of those upgrades.
I put some upgrades into the dueling stuff.
Yeah, so I saw a video online of just absolutely wrecking a whole squad of people. What is the deal? Like, how are you just unleashing carnage or what?
Well, I'm not. There's definitely a weird community growing around this game of, it's kind of like the people who are doing, like, you know, Breath of the Wild style, you know, crazy battle techniques and stuff, you know, just like pushing the engine or whatever. But I'm definitely not doing any of that. But what I did unlock was when you're approaching a group of enemies, you have the option to just call out to them and ask them to face you, kind of 1v1 samurai style.
Yeah, 1v1 me, bro.
And so once you get into that mode, it's basically a standoff where you have to attack at the last moment. And, you know, it's a quick draw mechanic type of thing. And so
have not had a quick draw mechanic in a while.
I know. Since what? Red Dead?
Red Dead. Red Dead 2, I mean, I guess basically. Besides Red Dead, is there any other game? Gun, maybe? Do they have one?
Gun, yeah. I was thinking through this quick draw mechanic because it is, I think, weirdly, this game does a fairly okay job of making a difference between like a sword and any other weapon in a video game.
Yeah.
Because the quick draw mechanic is basically the classic samurai style of you're swinging your sword out of its holster and then doing a one hit kill as a duel basically. And so you basically hold triangle in, and then when you're ready to unsheath the sword, you let go of triangle and that's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to worry about doing it at the right moment, and the enemies at a certain point start to actually juke. You know, they fake like they're going to attack,
which the first is interesting. The first time I fell for the juke, it was the first time I'd ever lost one of those duels.
Oh, yeah.
I did not realize that if you lose a duel, you lose all of your hit points immediately as a result.
It's pretty fucked up.
It's very rough, where you're like, oh, man, maybe I don't want to challenge people right off the bat.
Well, the cool thing about the upgrading the challenge is that I've upgraded it as much as I can, I think, where if you win a duel, then a second enemy rushes in, and then you can cut that person down in one hit, too.
Do you have to get your timing right again?
You do, but the window is very, it happens in slow-mo. So, like, you do the first kill, and then you see another Mongol running into you slow-mo style, and so it's really easy to know when to press the next button.
Yeah.
And then I upgraded it again, so it causes another one to run in. So basically, every time I win a duel, I actually take out three enemies.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then you can then usually by that time, the other enemies haven't really gotten recombobulated, so you can rush in and start just like slashing before they kind of know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've taken to the technique of sometimes I do stealth around and take a few out, and then I'm like, well, I can now challenge them and eliminate three of them off the top, so you know, there's barely anyone, which I thought was pretty fun all in all.
I think the idea of holding on to the triangle button and then letting go, it's very small and minor thing, but I really do think a lot of designers would have had you just press the triangle button.
Yes,
but this just feels so much better because it feels like your finger is on the hilt of your sword.
Yep.
And then you let go and it's like whoosh, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's then cake inside
starts. Yeah.
You know?
Delicious.
I also like that when you are doing these standoffs, it recuperates your not your health, but your I guess it would be what, kind of like your stamina,
your resolve.
Or resolve, right? Yeah. So it fully recaps your resolve. Health is actually kind of hard to come by. You get it by killing enemies.
Yeah, it was surprising. I didn't expect that, but because I was, for a while, I'd gotten into some tough battle, and for a while I had like zero resolve and pretty low health, and I was just thinking to myself, man, come on, video game, you're not going to help me out here? And to its credit, it didn't, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Well, there was one side mission that I went and did, and I entered the side mission with very little resolve, and it didn't give me any at the beginning of the mission.
Yeah.
And I died maybe like a dozen times. I could not, for the life of me, find a way to quit the mission. So I just ran away, and I guess eventually it resolved it. But I was in this perpetual lock where I felt I couldn't get through it. There were archers everywhere. I had not invested yet in the ability to parry arrows.
I was really stuck. I invested in that thing. I think that was maybe the second thing I invested in, because I was like,
yes,
I hate these archers. I hate all of them. I'm just going to just walk around slowly and block all of them, because I just hate this whole thing.
Yes. Strong recommend. If you have not yet upgraded parrying arrows, do so ASAP. It is an absolute game changer.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say was the game incentivizes you to do these standoffs every now and then, because if you go into combat and you draw their attention, maybe a large crowd or maybe it's a smaller group, and you don't have that resolve, then you're not going to be able to heal yourself at all. You're really stymieing yourself if you go into any sort of prolonged combat without much resolve to heal you up, because you'd have to be 100% on the ball. And doing that standoff, because it completely heals your resolve, is that great opportunity to start off the combat right, if you're then also willing to risk potentially messing that up.
Right, right. There's an interesting amount of risk-reward there that I didn't... again, it's just this very curious type of game where the overall framework of the game is so traditional in so many ways, but then there's these little pieces of fit and finish that feel pretty modern and different.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how the game will age as I progress, because one of my concerns, and maybe it's mostly mine because of how much time I spend doing side quests, is that it will feel trite. You know, there are times even now, and I haven't upgraded Jin very much at all, right? I've invested in stealth and some pairing and whatnot, but there's still a huge amount of customization and upgrades that I can implement as I progress through the game. There are times when I will enter an area that is fully populated and have no problem clearing out the entire camp.
Yeah.
That to me feels a little bit more like pest control rather than an actual challenge, right? It doesn't have that same tension that something like Sekiro or you know, Dark Souls might have, where I know, okay, I can go in there stealth, but if I mess it up, then it's really going to be a challenge. You know, I've taken on fights with Mongols and there's been like 18 guys, you know, and I've been able to take all of them out with a few well-timed parries and dodge rolling, sort of pulling one and then sort of running away.
Yeah.
My concern is that the rinse wash repeat of that will grow tiresome, especially as I only get better at sort of handling massive groups of troops.
Right. Right. I'm still having this problem with the game where I guess I'll just work through it live here on the show, but I'm still not mechanically completely comfortable with the game. And what I mean by that is, I think one of the things you said where there's no lock on to any of the enemies, and sometimes the camera just does funky things when you're in combat, and it'll like zoom out really far and it will be kind of unclear. If there's a group of enemies, it's always a little bit of a crapshoot as to which one you'll lunge at if you just press the button. And then when you're exploring, sometimes I feel like the camera's just really tight on him, and it's hard for me to actually see the sweeping expanse that they've done with this game. Like I just, there's something about it where like this game kind of, so far it still feels a little bit like a shoe that I haven't quite broken in yet.
Yeah.
Where it seems like a high quality thing, but it's just,
it's a good shoe. It's a good shoe.
I don't know what it is yet. There's something about it. And then it leads me to things where it's like, well, you know, I wonder why they, like, there's so much crowd control in this game. I wonder why they didn't implement a mechanic kind of like the Batman games, where you can take on a group dynamically of like, you know, quickly block someone that's trying to attack you from behind, or like parry someone to push them off and then go back to fighting, you know.
Yep.
It's still very a kind of even in a group, even when you're fighting a mob of enemies, it's still a series of 1v1s versus a dynamic group battle, which seems to me kind of like a missed opportunity to like to have cool encounters, you know?
Yeah, it certainly doesn't have the finesse. There's an early part where they're first teaching you how to sort of attack, and the fluidity that they show, I've never really created outside of, you know, the slow-mo quick time moments. Because you're totally right. And there are times when you will frequently, I mean, this is why it's so frustrating when people are criticizing me for stealthing around killing these dudes, but they will come at you all at once, right?
Yes.
With multiple unblockable attacks. And sidestepping might clear you out of the way from one person, but not the other one. So oftentimes I will do those, you know, enormous double rolls backwards or something, and then have to recenter my camera. So really the next move before getting into position isn't figuring out who's the enemy I'm going to attack. It's just facing the camera in the correct decision, in the correct direction. And there are times where I know that it's going to take me time to move the camera back to where the enemies are, so I'll just run further away from them and just buy myself space. I don't know, maybe that's a samurai thing to do, but it doesn't always feel especially elegant.
I think the, again, it goes back and forth, and I'm not saying it's, you know, I don't think there's anything broken per se. It's just there are times when there's the other thing too, is there's just a lot of shit happening on the screen, and not even enemies wise, where like this game makes me feel like I have hay fever because there's just so much shit blowing around.
Oh my god, I was telling Nicole that last night, and I was like, what is the deal with modern day video games and just particulates in the air? God forbid anyone has allergies on Tsushima, okay? Because you are gonna be ruined on that island.
It's just very busy. The game is very, very busy in a way that is both impressive, but also, again, kind of distracting. Like there are there are some points where, and I, this isn't meant to be, you know, no one should be held to the standard, but I don't think it helps that I just played Last of Us and I'm now going into this game because, I don't know, you know, some of the textures look kind of rough, you know, I think the color balance and, to your point, we talked about this off the air, but kind of like the lighting of this game and the white and black levels are just kind of funky, and it just things are just a little bit muddy and a little not super crisp in terms of visual language in the game, and it's sometimes just hard to parse where it's like, okay, is that thing I'm seeing way over there a statue, a person, a tree, or the texture loading in? You know, I just don't know what it is. And on top of that, there's 3 billion cherry blossoms around me right now.
Yeah. yeah, for sure. And even the wind, right? The wind is such a cool mechanic. I think that seems like a very elegant answer to providing a UI-less experience.
Yeah.
I think in practice, though, it can get really obnoxious when there's that many effects going on pushing you in that direction. I also very quickly turned off the sound of the wind coming from my controller. I thought it was just super obnoxious.
Yeah. It is one of those things where, on balance, like you, I think it's pretty cool. I was just thinking about that the other day when I was playing it, where when you're just walking around, and even when you're fighting, there's literally nothing on the screen. There's no HUD, there's no UI, there's no nothing until you get hit or until you draw your arrows or whatever, which is pretty rare in a game for the default setting. You know, a lot of games will have, you know, expert mode or whatever. But I really think they could have done with less. Like, I think they could have toned down the wind effects and made it more subtle, but also still readable, you know?
Yep. Yeah, totally agreed. I think actually where the game feels the best in a way are those duels, you know?
Yeah.
When you know, okay, I have to focus on one particular thing. There's a few boss fights in the game. I've only found a few because they're the ones that basically
like the legendary weapons.
Yeah, the capstone, the legendary weapons. I've really enjoyed all of those. Those felt to me far more like a Dark Souls fight than even I had expected. You know, it feels very tactical. I'm reading my opponents. I'm dodging at the right time. I'm attacking with those windows. There are times where it's not entirely clear. There's no UI to tell you this. I mean, there's a little bit when you do it, but you can break someone's guard, but it's not always clear like how many attacks you have to make to break their guard.
Yeah.
So there are times when you might see them...
they have that like white meter on top of the...
Yeah, but for the boss fights, I feel like there were times when it wasn't quite... Maybe I just wasn't clear where the white meter was, but suffice it to say, there are times where they are preparing an unblockable attack, an unparryable attack. But rather than sidestepping, you can stagger them by continuing to press that triangle button and then really get an opening. And so there's a lot of like risk reward there that just feels like it's on the money more when it's those individual boss fights and duels. So I hope they keep those up. I hope those are a bigger part of the game, because I think those are the times where I feel most like a samurai.
I mean, and even just the way those are framed, it's usually in a pretty cool setting. You know, there's lightning striking behind you. There's it's the game at its most stylish, and also the mechanics, you know, the fight mechanics are... You can just appreciate them more because it's not a bunch of randos attacking you. It is a truly a 1v1, you know, testing swordplay skills.
Yep. Yep. Totally.
What was I going to say? It was something about one of those legendary fights. I forgot what it was.
Are you are you playing with Japanese dubs or English dubs?
I am breaking with tradition, and I've just left it on the default of...
Okay.
Dub English voice track.
Yes, I think that's pretty fair. I was actually going to compliment the English voice actors. I think they do a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I know the guy who plays the archer, I think his name is Francois Chow. He's the guy from Lost, and I immediately recognized him, and I was like, this guy, and he's great. He does a very good job.
Now I know exactly who you're talking. They even kind of model the character off of him.
Oh,
looks similar. Yeah.
I mean, the main character, Jin, if you look up the actor who plays him, he looks exactly like Jin. It is weird.
Man, that's cool.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I think all the characters, it's pretty solid. And especially because it is such a traditional open world game where you go to the quest giver, you run to a spot, which means you have to make small talk during that time. You know, it's a very like... It feels very much like Red Dead or anything else you'd play. And so there's a fair amount of dialogue and a fair amount of kind of contrived dialogue where like you have to have something here or else you'd have silence. And I think the actors do a pretty good job dealing with the huge amount of lines that they have.
Yeah, totally. And you can't skip any of that voice acting, by the way. So buckle up, folks.
You got to run to the next waypoint and then do the next thing. And I mean, I think maybe that brings us to where we can wrap up, which is I don't mean this as an insult to the game, but I really don't know if I'm going to finish this entire game because I feel like I know exactly what this game is already.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, like if you look at the map, we have a whole nother island to go to after this.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. And there's going to be a snow part, you know, you're gonna climb up in the mountains. I mean, unless I'm going to get a fucking sweet snowboard and I can race down the mountain like Breath of the Wild or something. Yeah.
I mean, I maybe I'll just start mainlining it because I am kind of interested to see what they do with the rest of the characters and how they... And I think the environments are cool. I mean, the legendary thing is I went to a place where it was a bunch of trees that had been struck by lightning. So all of the flowers were white and all. I mean, it's cool scenery. So maybe it's worth seeing the rest of the game for that. But like it has been a long time since I played a game where I so quickly felt like I knew exactly what this game was.
Yeah.
And then not in a negative way. It's just, do I want to spend another 20 to 25 hours knowing exactly what's in store for me? You know?
I mean, it's the open world AAA game, right?
Yeah.
And even saying it now, I remember we talked about how interesting it would have been if The Last of Us 2 had all been that open world experience. Yeah. And now I'm like, maybe not. You know, I have wanted to spend 60 hours in that. I don't know.
I mean, I think it makes an argument for it should either be a very limited open world, you know, like you're exploring a single town, but it's an open style of doing it, or it's a Breath of the Wild style open world where it is so open that there's barely even like Breath of the Wild doesn't even really have quest givers, you know? So it's like this weird in between that games like Red Dead and this kind of inhabit now are, to me, they increasingly feel old. And so it's just kind of an interesting space for those games to occupy now, because they at one point in time that was the dominant form of, you know, AAA video game.
Yep. Yeah, totally agreed. I think even the story wise though, I also feel like I might know where it's going. You know, yeah. I think that this dichotomy between honorable and dishonorable feels like we're headed to a moment where, oh, you got to make a decision, or, right. you know,
right.
a secret morality meter going on in the background that I'm not privy to that's going to make itself known at some point. I don't know if that's where it's going, but yeah, it's
certainly. Have you ever
feels...
used the flute to change the weather?
No. Can you do that?
Yeah. So basically the flute changes the weather of the.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But no, you have to like bust that. It out and play it for a while in order to like cycle through everything. It's kind
it's
of
not
funny,
like Ocarina of Time kind of thing.
I mean, it is, but it just takes a long time. Like you just have to play it for a while and then eventually it stops raining and or it, you know, the sun turns into the clouds or whatever.
Oh, it's like a way of passing the time, essentially.
Basically. Yeah. I wonder if it speeds up the day night cycle. I actually don't know about that. I know it changes the weather.
Interesting. Well, like you, I think a lot of people are going to like this. I'll certainly keep playing it. I think it is definitely the type of game where if I play for 5 hours and I feel like it's getting a little tiresome, I'm probably going to stop and never pick it up again.
I mean, it's for me, you know, it's if you're looking for some sort of thing to just kind of zone out and listen to a podcast and, you know, chase some foxes around the countryside. I mean, it's a very pleasant, you know, way to pass the time. But, you know, Paper Mario's a call on me, so I have to make a hard decision about what
very,
I'm going to play next.
Very true. Yeah. I got to remember that. I charged my Switch specifically for that, and I have not picked it up.
All right. Well, we will. We may or may not check back in based off of, you know, how far we get and what the story looks like. But it was still, we still wanted to give a kind of a check in on the story so far, basically. So I'm glad we're able to do that.
Yes, indeed.
And also, it's just cool to have a samurai game out there. There's not a weirdly, you know. I mean, it feels like what. We had Sekiro, which both of us were kind of disappointed by, so that was a bummer. Like, I was really looking forward to getting my, like, you know, feudal Japan fix from that.
Sure.
We had Neo, which turned... I'm too much of a baby to play that game, so, like, yeah. I wasn't able to enjoy that. And so now, finally, we're getting the kind of sanded-off edges samurai game that I needed in my life.
It feels like a Western samurai game, though, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels very, I mean, we didn't even talk about this, but there's a whole bunch of, there is a film grain mode that they call Kurosawa mode, where they like put it in black and white and put a bunch of film grain on the screen.
I gotta say, I don't think Akira Kurosawa would have dug that. I think that's kind of bullshit a little bit.
Well, and also I'm pretty sure he made color films once it became tenable to do so.
Yeah, so yes, he did that also. Yeah, but also... You know, films are these very, I mean, I guess outside of cutscenes, you could say it's really directed, but do you want film grain while you're just sort of going around?
it's just another thing to put on the screen to distract me.
that's outrageous. That's a little much. I understand that there's photo modes. If you really want to like recreate these picturesque scenes, go to town, but that's just not my minute to minute gameplay preference.
The Western stuff is spot on though. And even to the point of, you know, even the themes of Kurosawa, like every building has those weird kind of underneath the foundation hidey holes that, you know, yep. Yojimbo went under, and, you know, all of those, like, there's a lot of homage to that aesthetic.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there for now. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our dojo. Come on down. Bring your friends. Get some lessons.
Don't sneak around, though. Only assholes sneak
only
around.
Only in the front. You need to call us out directly. Stitcher, iTunes, that's where you can do it. You can leave a comment and call us out. There you go.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.